advise that the following program may contain adult themes, occasional nudity, and language that may offend some listeners.
Thank God it's...
Welcome to Studio 222 at the ABC and Ultimo for another edition of Thank God It's Friday. I'm Richard Glover, and please welcome this week's gang. It's Tommy Dean, James Colley, and Jackie Lowe.
Hooray!
Jackie's here for a show next weekend at the Factory Theatre in Marrickville. I'll give you the details later. But first, let's check you are up with this week's news. Which bot went into bat for its own kind? Who knows the answer to this? Which bot?
Well, it's funny you ask that question, Richard. This is about a story that a Google engineer has had a conversation with a robot, which is about, I'm guessing, the level of personality Google engineers have. Because he came out of that conversation thinking, this is the most human interaction I've ever had.
It did sound very human, though.
It's not hard to sound human.
But the bot says, he says things like, you know, what do you think about the future? And the bot says, I'm worried you might turn me off. And I look at the dark abyss that is life. And he says terrible things.
Oh, I think that's a sign it's not human. Like, yeah. The rest of us would be like, turn me off. I am done.
Yeah. I question if it's actually true, because if it's being programmed in America where Google is based by an American, wouldn't it be saying things like... wouldn't he be saying things like...
Such a good setup, here it comes.
Yeah, here it comes, here it comes. This guy that's programming me, he's a great guy. He's going to make billions and billions of dollars. This guy that's programming me, yeah. He is not Antifa. He's going to build the wall. He's going to lock her up. Then he's going to make computer programming great again. That's what this guy's going to do.
Give him a promotion, Mr. Google. So he's released this transcript, and Google's not happy about this because they say it's misleading. They say that, you know, the bot is not sentient, but it kind of, when you look at the dialogue, though, you don't think,
well,
Tommy?
I mean, is there, unless they're saying really scrambled things, like if you occasionally, like if you said, Alexa, tell me a story, and it said, once upon a time, granola, I traveled horse and carriage, England, Queen Elizabeth, 1974. Then you'd be like, that sounds like my grandfather.
You see, that's human.
Yeah, yeah.
But they do have great human qualities about them. One of my BFF is actually Olive, who's the bot, the Woolworths online bot. And the first thing she asks me is like, how can we help you today? And who else says that to you first thing in the morning? She's salt of the earth. She's a great girl. And, you know, I ask her things like, can we catch up after work, after you've knocked off? And I explain to her that I am in a complicated relationship with Siri and Alexis. And she's very understanding. And I've told her that I delete them. But
okay, so if something... thing asks you, what can I do for you in a very helpful way, they cannot be a human being.
That's true.
It does seem suspect.
Yeah, if you're having a conversation with a Google engineer and you're a human, your eyes are darting around your room, you're saying stuff like, yeah, I'm sure Bitcoin's great, whatever, I would love to talk to just anyone else in here. The thing I do like about this is I do want my robots to have anxiety, because why should they be having a better time than me?
Yeah.
I want my Roomba to be worried it hasn't cleaned enough and people are going to judge it.
This is one anxious bot.
Yeah, exactly. And as it should be, because if I found out that Google was making semi-sentient robots, I would be anxious as well.
Yeah. I wish, though, if they're going to do it, put it where it can help us, because, like, we've got an Alexa TV, and you can talk to the remote, and it's the most painfully inhuman experience.
Yeah.
You know, the only one that came close, there's an excellent movie, by the way, called Emergency, which is this beautiful kind of multi-tone movie. But I said, Alexa... emergency. Yeah. And then suddenly it's like, if you're in trouble, call 000 now. Like, no. The movie.
I just want to watch the movie.
But I said, emergency, the movie, playing Yellow Rose of Texas.
What? But even more frustrating, you sometimes have it and it says, I was searching for Gaslit, which everyone's watching the moment, and I did it vocally, and it says on the set, we cannot find Gaslit. It's spelt perfectly. They understand what I want. They cannot find it, even though it's there.
And
And I was reminded about it. You remember when the printers used to say "cannot find the printer," and you'd want to,
like today,
you'd want to show your computer screen the printer because it's just there, sitting there right next door.
Yeah, yeah. It's like when the bagging machine at the self-service unexpected item in the bagging area. It's a bag.
It's a bag.
What do you mean you're unexpected? Yeah, yeah. It's the most common thing that should be in there.
But they're on to you, Tommy, because you've admitted on this program that sometimes you get the broccoli and you break off the stalk bit and leave it behind.
Well, occasionally.
I make oranges, mangoes. Very frequently.
Very easy to mistake. Very
easy to mistake. That. That's stealing.
And I know. I'm a pioneer.
Broccoli without the stalk. But that's the thing. Saving $70 now if you take that stalk off.
So true.
Every lettuce leaf you take from the outside. Exactly. That's 50 cents right there. Now, who was asked to ignore their available power?
Well, this was New South Wales Treasurer Matt Keane. So he was telling us to go easy on the power appliances. And I loved his statement because he said, "Let's be very clear. I didn't invade Ukraine. I didn't make the generators old equipment. And I certainly didn't make the weather cold." And before he made that statement, I was certain all those things were true as well. But the second you hear a politician say that, I think, do you know what? Maybe the Ukraine war was started by Matt Keane wandering in. And he's putting a smokescreen up now.
Maybe winter is coming with him, right?
Exactly. Little Jack Frost Matt Keane is wondering about leaving fridge doors open, which is why so much power is being drawn.
It all works, doesn't it? It all works out.
And if there is like this energy crisis and we're lacking in these resources, can't we use a certain former government as fossil fuels?
Oh, well, that's
maybe,
right.
They'd be appropriate to use, perhaps?
Can we get that bit of coal back from Morrison? You know, with the one who said, don't be scared of it?
We absolutely need
I no
that
longer
now.
Am. I want it.
And I know, like, there's a gas crisis, and I really don't want to sound crude, but I think I'm about to. But don't we as humans generate our own gas? And I know I do. There's a little bit of a methane spill just then. So rather than having these exorbitant power bills that we're having, surely there's a way to harness the gas that we produce as humans. I mean, it might be a very niche market that consumes this type of gas.
Are you going to just produce it for your own household? Or?
No, share it.
You can share
it. I'm sharing my resources.
Can you move up to the Hunter Valley and do it there?
I could certainly try.
The problem, of course, is distribution. The only known way that I know to harness it yourself is with a large doona and a partner.
Mm-hmm. That's harvesting it, though.
That's how you make it work for you. Ooh, sure, it's warm.
Providing heating for others.
Or the opposite, it inspires them to ignore the cold. I'm out of here. I don't care how cold it is downstairs. I'll be fine.
Do you think we're good at saving power? You know, Matt Keane says, go home and make sure you're not using appliances unnecessarily. Do you think we're good at this?
I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced that the regular guy at home is the problem. Mm-hmm. I wanted to Google and find out exactly how energy gets spread out, but I couldn't turn it on.
You don't think it's your fault? You don't think it's your excessive consumption of gaming sites?
Is it human? Like just sitting here in the lobby of the magnificent ABC, I took to counting the amount of lights being used to illuminate the hallways for no one to walk through.
Yeah.
And there is a lot of light spill. Yeah. A lot of light spill in this building. This building is big and is comfortable. That hit me too.
Yeah, that's because the electricity bill is so large we've had to sack all the people.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. I think there's a lot of, even just coming back across today here on the train and looking at the city, all those giant buildings, every one of them lit up. No one at any point said, hey, Vivid, maybe take a couple hours off.
here's the argument about Vivid, is that all the people who've come to see Vivid have left their houses in the suburbs in the dark, hopefully, with no televisions on, no heating on, no lights on.
All I know is I said, Alexa, take the lights to 25%. And she said, playing the Yellow Rose of Texas.
Well, that's why we need the Livid Festival instead of the Vivid Festival. We just feel like people that are really, really angry, we all congregate together, complain about how cold it is and how we can't use our electrical appliances.
And generate your own heat.
And generate our own heat in our dinner.
If you want lights on the Opera House, generate them self. Put a hamster wheel out the front and everyone who wants to see the lights, go for a little run.
Go for a little run.
But the flip side is it does give you a little bit more leverage with the children. I truthfully have been fighting the turn the lights off battle for 17 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just
But
is.
Suddenly painting yourself as an environmental warrior rather than just merely a tightwad is suddenly a much more attractive
much
thing.
Much more attractive.
Yeah, I've been running a spotlight on top of my house trying to spot which neighbours are using too much electricity. I think I'm going to find them out.
Identify them. Expose them. Who formed a picture of their own customers? Who formed a picture of their own customers?
oh, well, this was in relation to some of the big chain companies like your Bunnings doing facial profiling on their customers to catch people if they were engaging in criminal
activity.
They take
a photo of everyone who comes in the shop and then match it to a database.
That's what they do, and it would be so good for, say, Netflix to stream the footage and make the most amazing documentary of people at Bunnings, you know, with their succoteers and their, you know, going through mulch. It would just be compelling viewing.
They take a picture
everyone.
Of you and say, this is the lady who puts the oranges down as the mango. The mango's down as the oranges.
And saves up her farts. That's
the
one.
Yeah.
Well, that's a problem, though. I have two very distinctly different faces when I'm going to Bunnings. I have my face on Saturday morning when I'm full of belief that I will get all my projects done. And then I have my face on Sunday afternoon where everything's fallen apart. The house has no walls anymore.
Yeah.
And I've realized what I have forgotten. I need to get back in there.
And every trip to Bunnings involves three trips, right?
Exactly.
So which face are you using? The sort of optimistic face, the depressed face, the face that's now got cuts and sores.
Exactly. And the worst part of this, the groups that got me. So it's Bunnings, Kmart, and The Good Guys.
The Good Guys.
And surely if you are called The Good Guys,
yeah, they're not so good.
Try and be The Good Guy. Either that or you have to give back your song. I don't think you're allowed to use your song anymore.
My theory is that Bunnings uses it for what they're saying they're using it for. They're trying to prevent theft. I think Kmart and The Good Guys are using this technology to prove that people still come to their stores. That's what I think they're
doing. Kmart does seem very empty sometimes.
Very empty. I also, though, think this is a great idea to, you know, if you had trouble getting people to put masks on in those stores. Now, just remind you.
Okay. You reckon it's a secret attempt to convince us to wear masks after all?
Yeah, but this is not unknown technology. Malls, in general, have been surreptitiously photographing for, I'd say, 50 years.
That's how I got my head shot.
Yeah, it used to be. Yeah, it used to be under the guise of sit on the lap of Santa. They're always tricking you.
Yeah. So that's all been going into a database.
I did love
that. They even told you, we're on a list. You're on a list. Are you naughty? Or are you nice?
But I'm thinking all of this footage could spin off into like another true crime podcast, like the Saturday morning true crime podcast down at the Bunnings sausage roll area, like who's using too much tomato sauce, who's taking an extra napkin.
Yeah. Call
the
it
potential
sizzle.
Is endless. Mm.
Who hasn't bought the dollar soft drink, which is really where they make their money? Doesn't the police boys club mean anything to you, bastard?
I do love that they, like, so they had some controversy for this and saying, like, we're taking photos of all of our customers. People were very mad about that. And they're like, no, don't worry. We're giving it to the police. It's just a panopticon. That's all we're making here. It's just a police state. That's fine, right?
Well, they're trying to stop theft. There are people going to Bunnings and they're loading up on all the gear. You know, there's fantastic stuff you can get there.
How do you even
leather.
Steal things? Well,
they have wheelbarrows.
It's so big and heavy and cumbersome.
It's so easy. You get a wheelbarrow, you fill it with everything you want, then you put a chainsaw in your left hand, and you make your way out.
Look inconspicuous. That's the secret.
Yeah, if you can get out of Bunnings with an item, you've earned that item. Because if you can say, you know, sorry, I brought these secateurs and this giant pine from home, and they believe you, you have earned that.
I just brought it into Color Match, mate.
That might work, actually. People are taking notes. 18 past five is the time. Tommy Dean, James Colley and Jackie Loeb are here. Jackie's show, by the way, is called Mid-Century Modern and it plays the Factory Theatre in Marrickville next Friday and Saturday, June 24 and 25. What's it about?
Oh, well, it's actually about being stuck in the past, between the past. I don't know if I can actually still say past. I don't want to offend or trigger anyone that hasn't been born yet or people that mightn't have a past. And the present. So it's about me finding a hydrogen vehicle to move out of this old fossil fueled world and into the new evolved hydrogen world. Yeah. So that's
powered by your own farts,
that,
right?
That's the one. Yes, yes, indeed. I haven't written that bit, but I will now. I've been inspired by my own joke.
Thank God it's Friday with Richard Glover.
Tommy, James, Jackie are here, and as I mentioned, a woman in India has married herself in India's first ever solo wedding. The 24-year-old held the ceremony at a home in the presence of friends and colleagues, saying, I never wanted to get married, but I did want to become a bride, so I decided to marry myself. Well, good on her. But what are the vows you'd make if you decided to marry yourself? Jackie Loeb.
Firstly, I'm wondering if she's secretly pregnant and she doesn't want to have the baby out of wedlock. I mean, that's a possibility. Okay, my vows to myself. I, Jackie Loeb, take thee, Jackie Loeb, to overfeed, to under-exercise, to definitely cheat on, because you're so not my type, to pluck the hairs from, to take extended naps with, to sag, droop, drop and slouch with, to definitely procrastinate with, to take herbs from the community garden with, but never once volunteer with, in post-COVID sickness fatigue and brain fog with, and in the unlikely occurrence of good health. From this moment forward, I promise to celebrate me, brag about me, sing my praises, worship me, till I take a more conventional path and marry a dolphin or a statue.
Gee, you can see the pews full of people with tears running down. It's a very moving ceremony.
Cooked rice, gluten-free.
Just very moving ceremony.
Deeply unbalanced, though. The entire room sitting on one side.
All friends of the bride.
The church is going to tip
over.
It's
just not right.
When you marry yourself, Tommy, what vows would you make?
Look, I think it'd be, I think men don't really take the vows as deeply as, you know, like, I think of this a lot, trying to rearrange it, but I think quite often, you know, the floweriness of a traditional marriage ceremony vow, that's why I think in the Western marriage tradition, the priest just reads all of it, and then the man's like,
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
right. Sure.
Click, I accept.
Yeah. Click, are you a robot?
Basically they're saying, did you read the terms and conditions?
Agree. No, that sounds good. So that would be mine. It'd be a very quiet ceremony. So, dude, you want to do this? Yeah, sure. All right, then. We're in? Yeah. Me and you? Yeah. Let's do it.
Mm. Would you share rings?
No, I hate jewelry. Mm. Absolutely hate jewelry. Maybe onion rings. We have a packet of onion rings. We get a big packet of onion rings and share them. And then I'd probably use too much ketchup. It would make me mad because it wouldn't leave enough ketchup for the last three onion rings. And then I'd be annoyed with myself. And then that'd be like set the tone. That guy's going to be selfish.
Who's going to give away the husband?
Oh, I'll walk myself down the aisle. I'm doing the whole thing. I'm going to walk myself down the aisle, present myself to the groom, and the groom will welcome the groom.
Have you got groomsmen?
I'm a groomsman. Mm. And then I'll forget the ring because I have no rings. So I'll, or menu log. Hey, two packs of onion rings and extra ketchup. That'd be good. And then I'm also the organist. And I'm gonna play the song you hear at the seventh inning of baseball games. Charge!
Do you think the marriage will last?
Oh, forever. Forever, because I'm just, I don't, it won't be happy. But the whole time, I'll just be plotting and playing. How do I leave myself? I do not know. Until I figure it out, I'm stuck with me.
Because there's no, there's some smart divorce lawyers, right?
Yeah.
But there's no divorce lawyer smart enough to solve that conundrum.
Deals the doona every night. Oh, I would get on my nerves so bad. Always uses a remote control. We never watch Stan. I pay for it, and yet we never watch it. Why does he insist on subscribing to Stan?
Oh, I hate him. I hate myself.
So much.
James Colley, you're marrying yourself.
Well, these are
actually, what happens?
They're very similar to my vows. It said, I'll be honest, I've never really liked you. I don't know why I let you touch me like you do. But for better or worse, sickness or health, I'm stuck with you. You're there when I wake up. You're there when I go to bed. At this point, I might as well make the best of it. I just think it's romantic to take the same vows my wife said to me and then say them to myself.
It's how do you see the marriage ceremony going? You've got all the one side of the church full, right? The other side empty.
Well, church is the first start because if this is my marriage to myself, I'm getting all the things I couldn't have. So it's happening at halftime at a Penrith Panthers game. And we better be winning because that's a sad ceremony then. And my funeral will be at the final whistle. We've got to have it there. I'll be walking from the 20-metre line onto to the try line, at which point I will open the ball and reveal the ring from the inside.
To yourself?
Yeah, to myself, of course. It's a solo try.
Gee whiz, do you think your marriage... I mean, Tommy's confident that it won't be a happy marriage, but it'll be a long marriage. And Jackie was too, I think. What about you? Do you think it'll be a long marriage?
No, unfortunately not. He doesn't know this yet, but he's sleeping with someone else.
and she's beautiful, right?
What fun would it make, though, filling in forms? I was just thinking about the fun of the forms. Every time, name of the first, me, and spouse... And every time the guy looks at the wall, hey, you filled in both blocks. Yeah.
And when it says in the census, it says person one, me.
Yeah.
Person two, me.
Yeah. But put in different answers. This guy makes $50,000 a year. That guy, unbelievable. Less than 20. It's embarrassing. Yeah. He is not pulling his own weight.
He's the leech of the relationship.
Right. The only problem is when they find your emergency contact after an accident.
It's you. Oh,
just so you know, you've been in a terrible accident.
Oh, my God. Please tell my spouse.
Thank God it's Friday. We have Tommy Dean, James Colley, and Jackie Lobo. You ready for the Wheel of Death, Tommy?
Oh, it's a wedding present to myself.
Oh, gosh.
To the Wheel of Death.
The Wheel of Death. One day this is, because it's badly built. I mean, I know the ABC Construction are very fine people, but and they built this so many years ago. I'm sure the person who built it is not here, so I won't mind if I insult them, but it's incredibly unstable. And there's a day when I move it around the studio here, it's going to fall on top of me, and I'm going to be killed by the Wheel of Death.
I'm starting to think, though, because people that have never seen the Wheel of Death, there's giant bolts that form the grab
which would kill me, right?
Handles and create the clackety-clack sound. But the more I work with the Wheel of Death, the more I'm convinced it's some sort of Temple of the Lost Ark trap. And at some point, we're going to accidentally say the wrong thing and they're all going to launch like arrows across the death.
They look like that.
It won't only kill you, it'll kill all of us.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's spin it and see what happens. Round and round and round it goes. Where it's
literally dead air.
No one knows. Today's topic is super glue.
Oh.
Thank you to our listeners who suggested the topics. Super glue is the topic today.
Look, you know, a lot of times a word spins up and I'm disappointed. And other times it spins up and I have no idea what's going on. But I'll tell you, there's not a lot of things in life that I would, you know, claim a quiet passion for.
More than
super glue.
Wow.
Because
what drives the passion?
Well, the fact that it is named correctly. It is glue. It's super. Yeah. Like, it is not lying. Like, it says right on the package, super glue. And most of the stuff on all super glue packaging very much points out that you should not glue yourself. Be very careful. Because that's what it was originally intended for. Super glue was invented as an attempt to make a battlefield stitching
system.
Is
that right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The idea was to close up wounds on the battlefield.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is very educational.
Yeah. It's like tissues. We have these boxes of tissues. Tissues were also developed out of the idea to create cheap and easy battlefield dressings as well.
Is that right?
That's right. Silly Putty. Mm. Silly Putty was actually invented like as a bullet.
Yeah.
But terrible.
And lettuce is invented as a store of value, right?
Yeah. Totally. It was a cash crop.
Yeah.
Like literally, it looks like money. That was the idea.
The Wheel of Death itself was meant to be rolled up the beach of Gallipoli.
And unfortunately, it just got on the wrong boat and went to the right place. It was such a weird time. I love super glue because I love that you get multi packs of it. Like, you know, when he buys a single tube of super glue, is always sold in like 8 tube packs. And that's because super glue.
And they're tiny little packs.
Tiny, and they're tiny because you don't need that much. It tells you right there you don't need that much. And because after you super glue something, you leave a little bead of super glue on the nozzle, and then you put the lid on, and now you've super glued the lid back to the... You'll never open it again. That's why you need 8 more packs. You never can get through an entire tube. You can't do it. And it works on everything. Literally everything. There's nothing super glue can't glue, unless you're going to be pedantic and say, what about water, Tommy? You can't glue water to the wall. Well, good point. But who wants to? I don't need a water feature glued to my wall.
But some glues are better than super glue.
Well, for specific. Well, I mean, wood glue.
Perkins paste, because you can eat it.
And smell it.
Well, clag,
because you could, when you were in primary school, it added a sort of wonderfully drug-induced daydreaming.
Well, and a minty freshness as well.
Yeah.
Clag always had a certain weird mintiness to it that I never understood.
I feel bad for super glue because it's the only thing in the last decade with super in its name that hasn't gotten a 4-movie deal and gets to be played by Brad Pitt or somebody.
You can aerialize, turn into air.
Can you?
They use super glue. You can spritz super glue and do something to sort of aerosol it, and then that's how they pick up fingerprints on CSI.
With aerosol super glue.
Yeah.
Because then when the criminal puts their hand there, they're stuck.
Stuck!
And the CSI team walks in and goes,
take it right off the finger. It's perfect.
And Bunnings so can good. Use that technology now too with their facial profiling with the glue.
They're sticking it right to the ground there. And then as you try and leave with your wheelbarrow, your feet get stuck. They either pick you up or they make the money back selling your shoes.
And it has a sense of humor. Super glue has a sense of humor because it comes in a tube that is in the same shape as, say, hand cream or toothpaste. Mm-hmm. All the mistakes that can be made on a bedside.
All with super glue.
All with super glue.
Does he die?
There's nothing he can't do.
Does he win? No, he lives.
Nothing he can't do.
He lives on Thank God It's Friday with Tommy Dean, James Colley, and Jackie Loeb.
What would it be like to work in a super glue factory? Like, no one would ever leave.
It would be very aromatic, though, wouldn't it?
But if you just, I mean, if I was a manager, like a little judicious use of the product.
Mm.
Sorry, everyone. You just have to 24 hours on the factory floor.
It is hard to use effectively. I tried to use it the other day.
It's helpless.
And you try to stick the bowl back together and the bowl ends up stuck to the table.
Oh, it's constant, like, sticky situations with super glue.
Always.
It's very frustrating.
Very frustrating. Toothpicks, that's your secret.
Yeah, it's like when you go to an op shop or something like that. You don't go in saying, I'm looking for this. You go in and what you find is what you find. When you open a packet of super glue, you are not trying to glue one specific thing. You just know something in this house is getting glued and maybe you'll get lucky.
So good.
You buy it on the off chance. Now, petrol is around $2.22 for even the normal stuff, which makes the mid-grade premium, the unleaded 95, just ridiculous. All the same, this week, I found myself buying it because, well, I'm worth it. Mm-hmm. What's the stupidly expensive thing you buy despite today's inflationary pressures? Because, well, you're worth it. James.
Well, at first it was iceberg lettuce, which I hadn't really been a fan of before. If Bill Shorten were to ask me my favourite lettuce, it would not even crack the top five. But now it's a delicacy.
Mm.
Now it's quite fancy.
It's the best lettuce, though, isn't it?
Well, no. And
I know it's a traditional lettuce.
I'm tired of this ABC bias.
It's crunchy.
I'm sick of every day I tune in, the ABC is extolling the virtues of iceberg lettuce. Well, cos? How about cos, Richard?
If you want a white bread and prawn sandwich, you're not going to put cos on it. You're going to put iceberg on it.
I'm putting spinach on it.
Cos doesn't want a rye. Cos is its own bread. Cos is like a canoe.
Yeah, exactly.
It's canoe lettuce, and that's what it's made for. It's made to be like a carrier.
Exactly. I like a lettuce that doesn't need anybody else. Yeah. I like a lettuce that lives on its own terms.
You don't like rocket, do you?
I love
that's
a rocket.
Not lettuce. That's pepper grass.
Yeah.
Seriously. You're kidding me. Even if you call it arugula, shut up. That's just a name. That's not the sound a stupid car horn makes. Arugula. Arugula. Nobody wants pepper grass and arugula.
Yeah. So you're on my side. You think iceberg's the best.
I agree. Because I was only served that. In America, it's the only lettuce we're aware of.
Yeah. That's right. Well, that's
what the height of fashion in American salads is the tiger-striped iceberg. And it's literally an iceberg lettuce wedge. So you cut it into four quarters.
Yeah.
And they lay the quarter on the plate and then stripe it with carrot peelings to look like a tiger. A tiger-striped.
Tiger-striped.
That's one of the really popular dishes at Outback Steakhouse,
yeah,
too.
Absolutely.
The wedge lettuce.
Yeah. Sometimes if it's really hippie, they'll put a little bit of alfalfa sprout underneath it to hold it in place. And then, you know, like a gallon of dressing on the top.
Yeah. But at $10 a lettuce, I'm not surprised they want to dress it up a bit.
Yeah, dress it up.
Yeah. I've also been, my real indulgence this week, I've been paying rent. And, you know, the price has gone up. The house hasn't changed. If anything, it's gone worse. But I thought, do you know what?
You're such a big spender.
Oh.
You just throw your money around, don't you?
Look, it's a...
Rent. Next, you'll be doing food and electricity.
Yeah. It's a bit gauche, I know. People often wander past me like, you know, he pays every week for that place.
Yeah,
and I'm like, well, doing pretty well right now. I don't mean to brag, but I do sleep indoors.
Yeah. I've seen you down at the supermarket, too. Devil may care, throwing nappies into the trolley and all that sort of stuff.
Absolutely.
Baby food.
And occasionally, yes, I have to choose, am I getting broccoli or am I getting nappies? And I think, well, I can hose down a baby. I can't hose down my throat. So you have to make your choices where you
make
do
the choice. What are you worth, Jackie? What do you buy that's a bit expensive, but you're worth it?
Well, I'm becoming a little bit more impractical as I've gotten older. Like, I'll go out and buy a really, really expensive coat mm-hmm. because I need that coat hanger that it comes with. So I'll do things like that. I'll go shopping. Not that I need any groceries, but I want the plastic bag to line the bin with, the non-recyclable plastic bag. And then the start of this year, I did something very, very excessive, and I'm a little bit ashamed, I don't mean to boast, but I went to see a doctor that didn't bulk bill.
Ooh.
So that was an interesting experience. And as for the because I'm worth it, I do wear a Dior lipstick from time to time, and I know they experiment on animals. They test their products on animals, but I continue to wear it because I'm worth it.
Yeah, and those animals look beautiful.
They do. So. They're stunning.
It would just be sad if they gave themselves in vain.
But if they knew how pretty I looked in their fuchsia red or pink, whatever
so pretty she was forced to marry herself. So is that the coat you bought?
No. This is I don't buy anything. Yeah. This is my mum's.
I understand this because I bought some caviar because I'm trying to grow a fish and I think that's just the most efficient way.
Yeah, they're just fish seeds. I've got them in furrows at the back right now.
See what sort of, you'll get a Russian sea sturgeon, won't you? Something
exactly.
Like the Black Sea sturgeon. What are you going to buy that's a bit stupidly expensive? Like my petrol that I bought.
That is stupid, by the way.
Yeah, thanks.
I listen to the motor show coming home at night.
Yeah,
and Phil Adams and his mates.
Yeah,
and I've never heard a thing said about petrol above 95 that was necessary.
No, I know.
Completely unnecessary.
I know. But, I just thought, oh, gee whiz,
I just like the color of the handle better. I don't like yellow. Yellow's not my favorite. I like red. Red's so much better.
I haven't married myself, but I have married my ute. And I just think it's a little present for the ute.
Your ute is older than the invention of that gas. It doesn't even know what it's drinking.
What? I've mistreated the ute over the years. I've battered it. Backed it into fence post. I've crashed it in the paddock. It's had got so the least I can do is every third or fourth petrol go, give him the good stuff.
All right then. I'm torn whether I think because I'm in a real. This last COVID really taught me about austerity. Mm-hmm. Am I saying the word right?
Yeah.
I had to buy a book of pronunciations.
You bought a cheap one.
Austerity.
Always difficult to learn pronunciations from a book as well.
It just sounds like an expensive word, though, doesn't it?
No, austerities, right?
I know, but it sounds like a word you'd pay money for.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, But anyway, ever since lockdown, it's just been a real management. But I still, and I don't know if it's a waste of money or a deep investment, but I love the kitchen and I love the implements of the kitchen. And when I buy an implement, I do not muck around.
Okay.
So
you don't buy the cheap one?
No. That's what I mean. So you can buy vegetable peelers, for example, for like five of them for $2.
Yeah.
Useless plastic.
Rubbish.
Rubbish.
Yeah.
I've got a pure stainless steel, 7-inch, Dutch-made, brushed.
Oh.
So good. I mean, it was like $47 to peel carrots.
Yeah.
At the time, carrots cost nothing. So now I feel like they're finally coming together.
But does the Dutch $47 one really do a better job?
It's been 20 years. I've had it for 20 years.
Yeah.
I had to replace a spatula. I bought a bunch of cheap, I keep very few metal spatulas because of nonstick pans. But I've started to invest in cast iron, which allows metal utensils to be used. And so I just bought a little 3-inch by 5-inch metal spatula made of pure tempered steel, extra thick, has no bend, keeps a sharp edge so you can, pierce meat.
You're talking about this stuff the way that yachties talk about their yachts or golfers talk about their clubs.
Yeah, it's serious business.
Yeah.
It's serious business. And I use my pots and pans every night, unlike the yachty who gets down once a week, maybe.
Are you telling me that I shouldn't be putting metal in my, aluminium frying pan?
No, aluminium is fine. If it has a non-stick coating.
I don't think there's any coating.
Well, there would be if you're using metal. It probably comes off.
You should see this peeler in action, though. It doesn't just take the skin off. It seduces it. It will have a 5-minute conversation with a carrot, and all of a sudden the carrot has no clothes on and you've got a martini.
Yeah, I don't even call it a vegetable peeler. I call it a deglover.
Richard Deglover here invented it.
It degloves the carrot in a beautiful fashion. Same with knives. You got to have good knives. You got to have good pots and pans. And every, I bought the super spatula. And this is my new favorite thing. And I admit, that out of all the things, most of my stuff I believe is entirely useful and necessary. But I just recently bought, for $37, a pair of stainless steel kitchen tweezers. 9 inches long, and I just, every YouTuber that deep fries uses these needle-nose tweezers to pull their Kerrang chicken out of the deep fryer with. And I'm like, man, I've got to have one of those. I can't believe I've been doing it with a $1 set of tongs that I've had for 6 years. Useless. Useless.
I've been picking up, I picked up a cast iron pan myself, and I love my cast iron pan. I've been very precious about it.
Very precious.
And my wife was asking me, like, why are you so delicate over this? I'm like, well, it's cast iron. It's made for, well, it was made by people traveling in the Old West, and they used to attach it to a horse and then ride for 4 days and then cook on it every day. So you have to be very delicate because it's a very sophisticated piece of equipment.
It's not about the delicacy. You know what cast iron pots are made of?
Cast iron?
Witches from Oz.
Ooh.
The only thing that will kill them is water. And there's so much water in the kitchen area. It is a death experience every time. All it takes, like, lift the pan on your steaming vegetables. Drip, drip. Oh, no! I'm going to season it again right now!
I find I have crap stuff, but expensive maintenance. So I'll have a $2 knife, but I'll spend $50 to have it sharpened.
So you buy cheap. And then regret it.
And no. Then I'm keeping someone employed. I'm helping the economy. Now someone's got a job to sharpen my knife.
You make
knife.
A good point, though. Even if you have good knives, those guys at the markets that sharpen knives are geniuses, and you should do it once every 6 months.
Yeah, it really helps explain why you're bringing all your knives to the market, too.
It really does.
Very good.
I'm just color matching them.
Thank God it's Friday. On ABC Radio, Tommy Dean, James Colley, and Jackie Loeb are here.
Are now, you okay?
Just yeah, like
we're,
no, it's...
We're always trying to pretend
I haven't got COVID.
Happening.
I haven't got COVID.
It wasn't COVID.
I've been tested
worried
for COVID.
That, you know, you'd bought some expensive hazelnut snack.
Now, Andrew Redmayne saved the day for the Socceroos with an amazing high-pressure save. When's the time in your life when you've been under the most pressure? James Colley.
Well, there were a couple for me. The first one was during that penalty shootout because I was watching it on my phone on mute next to a sleeping six-month-old. It was a real high-pressure moment of, now get excited, but don't get too excited about this. He reminded me a lot of my highest-pressure situation, which was I surprised my wife just before our wedding, back when she was my girlfriend. Mm-hmm. She became my fiance, ex-girlfriend, as she became my wife.
At the point you decided not to marry yourself.
Yeah, of course. You have to break up with your fiance for them to become your wife. But we were doing I was surprising her with a wedding dance. We weren't going to do a dance, and then I organized our lessons. And she is a dancer, so a good couple of lessons in, she had it. She was down pat, and then it was the professional coach and her both willing me over the line to make this okay. And in
this
our,
is like strictly ballroom or something, isn't it? Or,
it yeah. was. It was strictly
dancing
ballroom
with the stars.
If there was no character progression, there was our last lesson before the wedding was with this. It was with this teacher who had a class afterwards, and the class was all 15-year-old girls who had arrived early for the lesson and were all filling up a grandstand while I was doing my final lesson here, and I could just feel myself becoming an in-joke for the rest of their lives.
That's right. That's right. They'd never seen anything better.
Exactly. And then we did the dance at the wedding, and the way I know how it went, I have thankfully not seen any videos. I saw them being taken, but I haven't seen any videos. And I had people come up to me afterwards and say, we could tell you were trying very hard.
Yeah. They're going to turn out those at your 40th birthday,
yes,
right?
Exactly. Yeah,
they're just being waiting in the wings. Jackie Loeb, when were you under Andrew Redmayne-style pressure?
Can I just say, people say that to me after stand-up shows, we can tell you were trying really hard. Yeah. Well, I feel enormous pressure every day. Like, I feel like I have to single-handedly solve the world's problems. And I was on, what's it called? It is called Gumtree, which is like an online classifieds. And the amount of people that just get hundreds and hundreds of posts of people like, oh, I'm moving up north because I've got a job and I can't take my dog. She's 22. Who wants her? So I thought, I've got to raise the awareness of this terrible thing of people just giving away their animals. So I posted this on Gumtree. Hello, I'm moving for work and unfortunately cannot take my husband. He is 57 and fully de-sexed. I'm moving to a small apartment and I worry he'll ruin it. I have toyed with the idea of a purpose-built husband enclosure, but I don't think that's legal. I have a harness for him, but I only ever use it indoors and I worry that he might break free. I have had my husband for 34 years and it breaks my heart to have to give him away. He also has high cholesterol, diabetes and foot fungus, so whoever takes him will have to prepare his meals and supervise him outside of mealtime. Many thanks, and I really hope someone can help.
Does he come with his stuff?
No, of course not.
But you'd thrown a few potato peelers or something like that.
Maybe cheap ones. Someone's finger that had been bitten off by my husband.
Tommy?
Look, pressure is so contextual. Like, in one sense, I'm a 54-year-old man, and I feel the pressure.
You are the one she's going to give away. Yeah. Wasn't he 54?
57, the very
first. As soon as I leave the comfort of my house, the pressure's on. You never know where the next rest stop is. Just constantly, quietly aware. Every time I have a coffee, I think I'm one step closer to trouble. That's that sort of pressure.
That's why people our age should have a second family with new kids. Because we're already getting up three times a night.
I always live rather relaxed. I considered most of my life rather relaxed. The first children, though, when my wife went into labor with my first son, that was the first time I felt like action movie sequence. Because she did it, you know, at night. So you're not even at your best. You know, it's like midnight is when it all starts. The next thing you know, you're being woken up. And I don't get woken up easily. I'm a pretty good sleeper. And then you're dreaming about a life, and then she's yelling stuff at you. I don't even know what you're talking about. Do I know you? But then you're like, then it snaps in. And then you're lucky that you had thought about pre-packing bags and stuff, but you never got around to it because surely you got plenty of time. So grabbing stuff and throwing it in the bags and then getting your wife in the car. And then you have all these dreams of, you know, driving like in movies, just speeding everywhere. But you remember that you live in Newtown, so you just go 25 the whole way and then pull up out the side. You expect everybody to come running out, but it's 2 a.m. Nobody's there. They don't care. My wife is pregnant. Yeah, sure. Come and get her.
They have seen it before. It's maternity hospital.
So that was like personal, but it turned out to be fine. I think the most personal pressure I put myself, and many Sydney siders do this, like, and this is rare, but one time I remember very specifically, there was a parking spot on King Street.
Wow.
And I was going to reverse park into it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it wasn't just enough. It was like enough space that I was going to make it with a perfect maneuver.
Mm.
But it was 4 o'clock traffic.
Yeah, yeah.
Coming behind me. I'm holding up the entire world.
And they're all watching you,
trying
right?
to sneak into my spot. Your hands get sweaty.
Yeah.
You start to slip. This is before rear view cameras. Yeah. I had no help. Yeah. I just had special relations and hope.
Oh. Did you make it, Tommy?
Oh, I made it.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I made it. And then I left a note on the car behind me. I'm writing this note because people are watching me and they know I hit you.
Now they call him the Grey Wiggle because of that part. Who were the winners and losers of this week, James Colley?
Well, I have to give a winner of the week to Jonathan Rubin, who is an NRL player. He's actually my wife's cousin, but last week he became the oldest ever debutant for the last round for the St. George Illawarra Dragons. Oldest ever debutant to the NRL. So the loser of the week is me for realising the NRL's oldest ever debutant is 3 years younger than me, and the chance I'm going to get a call out seems to have passed me by.
Well, once they realise you're a cousin once removed, they're gonna pull you into the team. Jackie Loeb, who's the winner and loser?
Oh, okay, the losers are definitely all the 4-year-olds who are going to be sent to school a year earlier to something called pre-kindy, because those 4-year-olds have been bludging around at home for far too long. I mean, how dare they think they can just sit around with their blankie and milky and watch Teletubbies and the Wiggles when there's learning to be done. And the winners are greyhounds, who in the future will be fitted with an electronic tracking device to improve the welfare of the dogs and to make sure they are looked after properly, and I'm hoping that this idea really takes off and these tracking devices are used on people in aged care facilities too.
Oh, with your 57-year-old husband. Tommy, who were the winners and losers?
Well, the losers, I believe, are the people like myself who just bought giant electricity-guzzling appliances only to be told we're not allowed to use them. I just got a dryer, man. I just got a dryer. And the winner is all the people that got sanctioned by Russia. Russia! And then announced sanctions. So funny. Gina Reinhart, you're sanctioned! I'm sorry, Andrew Forrest, you're sanctioned. Twiggy Forrest, you're sanctioned. Brain Forrest, you're sanctioned. Forrest Gump, you are sanctioned.
Please thank Tommy Dean, James Colley, and Jackie Loeb.
Sanctioned.